Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
We're kicking off Relationship Month tonight. Who's excited? Yes. You should be, because it's great when God intervenes and help us. Amen. Now, since the beginning of this church, when there was only a few people, relationships have always been a great testimony of what God is doing in our church. And so what we're going to do in this relationship month is we're going to have a short testimony in front of every sermon, also give you guys some just opportunity to connect with some of the guys and their stories. These are not only things we hear of in scripture, that God comes and redeems and helps. This also then happens in our lives because He's here, amen? And He's working effectively among us. And so I don't want to say too much before I get going, except for Colin to take us away.
I know it's normally ladies first, but I'm going to take the lead, eh? Banner asked us to share something on relationships and more specifically around attraction. And I went and thought about it, and the best way is just to share from your life. So I'm hoping that I will share as accurately as I can just what we went through and what we learned. My testimony specifically on this topic that I want to share from my life concerns two main things. The first one regards love and lust. And to elaborate on that, I think as many of you men would be able to relate, had a struggle with lust as a single Christian man. And I would say it's probably the main battle in my Christian life that I had to wage war on and that I had to conquer. But what I can say is it's the single most prominent reason that my relationships before marriage did not work out and failed. God by His grace, I can really say, has prevented me from going into some relationships and from continuing some relationships that the root of which, if I'm honest with myself, was lust and not love. I can really say today, by experience, it's not by my words or anything. It's something that God has really done in my life, and that's something I'm very, very grateful for, that He has freed me. He's really freed me from lust. And, it's an amazing thing. The lustful desires I had a dread of feeling for my wife are gone. The desires I thought I would have to struggle through and would have had for my wife, I failed to have the capacity to have those desires. It really has been replaced by love. God has come and done a miracle in my heart, and He's removed that a lustful thing in my heart, and He's replaced it with love, with godly love, what that means. And why do I share that? The reason I share that is because our appetites determine what we dish up at the buffet. What we have an appetite for is what we look for. It's what we see, and what we look for in to fulfill us in our lives is what we desire and our appetites. So I want to just leave you with a question. What is on your list, you know, when you look at a partner, if you're still single tonight? What is on the list when you want to go and dish up the buffet? What is that list that you're waiting God to come and fulfill? Because I can really assure you that we need to build in on love. We need to build on love. That's the only thing that will last. It's the only thing that transcends our human years on earth. So the second thing I want to just elaborate on is, I was in a relationship with another lady before Sumeri, and I just want to share the contrast which I experienced, literally experienced in my life, where this girl, in the natural sense, we were greatly aligned and we were very compatible, and it was a green light for me. It was, everything looked right and looked good. But over time, God came and revealed to me that there was not spiritual unity. And I had certain things I had to be real about with myself. And at the end of the day, I had to make a decision to stop that relationship. Exactly the opposite happened with me and Sumeri. And that's obviously just by God's grace. But with Sumeri, it's a little bit humoristic. That's why I want to share it. But with Sumeri, the spiritual side was set. There was never a doubt in my mind that she was the woman that God wanted for me. She was the woman that God had brought into my life. And there was spiritual unity, and I was greatly excited about what she and I would do for God and where we would go in our lives. And in the natural, there were some things which we had to work through. It wasn't sunshine and roses. It never is in any relationship, but it was just interesting for me to see how that those roles switched around in my life. And because the spiritual unity, that side of things were there, it allowed me time. And by the way, all of those natural things which I thought are a problem were my own problems. Problems in my heart. They were things I had to wrestle through and work through with God. So that's a bit of what I wanted to share tonight.
Ik heb nou al mijn tijd gevat. I'll quickly share. There's two things that's on my heart to share tonight. And it's really been a journey for me in terms of attraction specifically. That's a topic we had to share around. And I'm still a work in progress. We haven't arrived. We will never arrive. And I still make many mistakes. But God takes us on a journey when we decide to follow Him. So this is a very big part of our lives and covenant and walking with God as well. So the first thing, before I knew Jesus and walked the road with Him, my attraction was based on my own desires. And I was attracted, especially emotionally, to men that understood me or could fulfill the desires of my heart. So it was very selfish. And it was a big trap to fall into, because you try to fill your affections with desires that you think a man can fulfill, but there's that space in your heart that only God can fill. So when I committed, gave my life to the Lord, He started a process of sanctification, heiligmaking in my heart, where I realized there's things I need to lay down. If I want to be a good wife one day, I need to let go of the things I want and I desire. And it's because it's unrealistic to expect of a man to fill you that in that way, emotionally. And He started that process of sanctification where I said to Him, Lord, I want my desires to be aligned with Your desires, so that they are the same. And it started changing. The things that were attractive to me previously weren't attractive anymore. And different character traits started to stand out for me in guys that I saw. And the thing, when I met Cole, yes, there was physical attraction. Yes, there was emotional attraction. He was the most attractive man ever to me. But the thing that stood out above all, the thing that caught my eye, was his love for God and his just that raw relationship that he had with God. And that was the most attractive thing to me. And that was the thing that gave me peace about the relationship as well. So, yeah, praise God for that. And that also makes the journey easier because your expectations are managed when you go into marriage then. The other thing I quickly want to share is just a previous relationship as well, where I really thought it was my trouwman, and we were young. And what happened in that relationship is that I started idolizing the guy, and I've put him on a pedestal, and that's never good for us to place. We can idolize many things, but especially for women, it's easy to idolize a man and to desire marriage or the love of a man above God. So that happened to me, and I fell into that trap, and God had to come and take that relationship away. And I'm thankful today, even though it hurt a lot back then. But I realize now that idolatry, and that's what it is, it's idolatry. It was idolatry in my heart. It leads to death and it leads to pain. So God protects you sometimes, and because he loves you too much to let you worship anyone but himself. Okay, so yeah, that's the main thing that I had to learn, is that God above all, he's the lover of my soul. And then you just walk your journey with your trauman. So yeah.
Wow, let's give them a clap. I don't think I have to preach after that. Normally when you do like relationship month, people, they're very gracious with time. We had in my very first relationship month in Stellenbosch, there was two services. There was a 5 o'clock service and a 7 o'clock. And the 7 o'clock service went on until 10 o'clock that evening. It was every time when the pastor wanted to stop, the people shouted, "Nee, ons wil nie gaan swat nie." And so he just carried on because he almost preached the whole series in one evening. Wow, it's awesome to be here, amen. I want to have a sermon of two halves. The second half is going to overlap with something we did last year, just because it's just on my heart so much. And I think something really shifted in our congregation last year at Relationship Month. I just want to just still get more of those spoils. So I'm going to start somewhere and finish with something we touched on last year, also for the new guys. What I want to say is the passage of scripture we're going to do now is a very mature piece of scripture, in the sense that the examples that this prophet is using, that God is allowing him to use, it's in scripture. It's very brutal. It is R-rated stuff. All right. So I hope the audience are ready for what's coming. In the scripture, there is the word whore or prostitute in some translations. And some of the explanations is very explicit and offensive things to speak about. What I just want to say is, I, as a person, will never call someone a prostitute. Okay, are you with me? What this prophet is doing is trying to explain through very brutal words that we understand, okay? These things such as sexual sin against one or someone that drops you when you needed them most. It's something we relate to very strongly in our hearts. We sense that betrayal. If you watch a movie and there's betrayal, they're like, oh, how can someone do something like that? And in a sense, that is what this prophet is doing. He is speaking about the spiritual condition of Israel, but his example he's using is what we know to be the most hurtful thing, and that's when we get betrayed in our most vulnerable place, that place of a marriage bond being broken or sexual sin that is committed against us. There is few things that come close to that, let me tell you that. And so the prophet goes there. Now, let me say this, he is talking about a spiritual condition, but he's using marriage-like words as his example to draw the emotion. Are you with me? So what we can already see is marriage, faithfulness, love between people can be related to our love with God. It's not the same, it can be related. My son is related to me. We're not the same person. We look the same. Some of the things we do the same. And so the same with his example, there's a lot of things about marriage and relationship that can be likened. Although it's not 100% the same. Are you with me? Beeldspraak, okay? We are called the bride of Christ. Yes, you're a man, you're also a bride, okay? It's the word scripture uses. If I offend you tonight, come and chat to me. I'm trying to give the scripture tonight as honestly as I can. And it is a brutal piece of scripture. It's supposed to bring some emotion to the front. Love is a crazy thing. It is really a crazy thing. It can make you or break you, right or wrong. You will see someone, and she just had coffee with him, something has started, and it looks like she is walking on a cloud. Okay? You see this girl, say so in a car fast up. Okay? She is not with herself. All right? Because she is in love. And what happened to us is that we ons raak bietjie koekoes. Everything is great in the world. Everything is great. It's just so amazing. I love my car. I love my shoes. I love my budget. Everything is great. Because there's something happening here that has promise. There's a promising relationship that's going to happen. You see that same girl 3 months, 4 months later, and it looks like a truck went over her. It did not work out this time. You cannot recognize that she's the different person. Her heart is broken. No one stole from her. She didn't get physically injured. From the outside, same person. But how deep do we feel the broken heart? It is real, amen? Are you with me? And that's where we are tonight. That's where we are forming. Attraction is where it all starts. It's a matter of a heart. Let me tell you what, I just love that, what Carl said, your appetite, but your aandag trek, your desire, your attraction, it's going to determine where you walk in this life. I promise you that. Love, and even in a spiritual sense, a lot of these things starts with attraction. What attracts your soul? Because if it gets your attention and you start, you see it, attention, it attracts you and you desire it, you're on the move. Okay? So, if you are already married, tonight will be one of the sermons in this series that maybe leans a bit more to those that are single. But be awake in this attraction thing, what you can do to become more attractive to your spouse. All right. So you need to just make that move in your mind. All right. Is that okay, everyone? So everyone is included. And I'm going to talk a lot of single language, but transpose it for yourself. Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord. I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride. It's talking about Israel. Israel and God is like a bride and a husband. The church and Jesus is like a bride and a husband. You and Jesus can be likened to this relationship, okay? You can pull it through. I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness, even through bad places. You followed me. You were devoted to me. Can I just quickly pray? Hello. Day for be dark. I just need to pray for myself before I get too excited. Father, I want to just thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word. It is true. And when your word says that scripture is like a sword that cuts deep, it's like I can understand it from this piece of scripture because it is so straight, so honest, so naked in the truth that it literally comes in like a knife. But we're in skillful hands. So have open heart surgery on us and change us. And everyone says, amen. Now, I'm going to tell you the story is going to go to a very bad place. This young bride of her youth, she's not going to stay so great, okay? This is where we are going. But when I look at the scripture, you know what I see? And it actually gets me a bit emotional as a father. My son is still very young, but already I can start and relate to Father God here. It's interesting. I want you to imagine, we know the story is going bad. I want you to think of, maybe you know someone like that, and maybe you've seen on a movie, the person that's really ran into many walls. Okay? I want you to imagine, if you're a woman, maybe a man, if you're a man, maybe a woman, or just maybe you saw a picture or a movie or something, how such a person looks like when they are alone. And they just went down the wrong road, and there was just one, and then there was another one, and then events got the worst of them, and they ended up in the wrong arm of a man, and maybe different men, and here they are. And you get a sense of, this person is broken. Who knows what I'm talking about here? Can you think, maybe you feel like that tonight? Yourself, okay? Don't be shy, okay? Let me just say this. Jesus makes all things new. Know this from the start. That's why you are here. You should feel convicted. Convicted means the Holy Spirit is talking to you, but it always shows you where you should go. Okay, condemnation is when the enemy makes you feel bad, but there's nowhere to go. You're just bad. All right? That's the difference between conviction and condemnation. So scripture says, do not be condemned because you're in Christ, but you may be convicted to move closer. Are you with me? All right. No condemnation here tonight, but a lot of the conviction is okay. Otherwise, what are you doing here? Yet to grow. So see that person, and here's the husband, or for me, I see this father speaking, but I remember when you were young. She's now 25 or 35 or 40. She's broken. And do you remember those pictures of the 80s? Okay, that's when I was young boy, okay, it's like pixelated. Everyone's got a mullet, okay? Mom, dad, the dog, and you, okay? And you're on the beach. Maybe you've got a picture of this Vartlemon, okay? Like, and it's you this big, and the Vartlemon is this big, and maybe who remembers a photo like that of your family? And like your dad, like, look at your hair. You've got nothing now, but you've got like a mullet and stuff. And like, everyone's pants are so high, all the men, like standing, the kind of a MacGyver look. 80s, that's the 80s. Most of you were born in the 90s. Oom hoog weet waarvan ek praat, nee. Het oom hoog lang haar gehad, wat is die eerlijkheid? Ja, yes. Okay. But when you look at that picture, like, my wife's a photographer, and images these days, they crisp and clear, and those images out of the 80s, bad quality, but the emotions they bring. Wow. Maybe mom and dad were still together back then. It's beautiful reminders. I remember when you were a youth. You were so innocent. I can see that picture still. Well, what happened on the way? You followed me at that time, and this is God's heart. He's saying, I remember. Can you almost sense that emotion that thoughts that the father has when he thinks back? You were so innocent. How do we get here? And I brought you into a plentiful land. It's almost like saying, and we moved into a house. We were married, and I brought you in, and there was fruits and good things. But when you came in, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. Okay. It's like you threw everything in my face. What happened here? I set you up to win. And he goes on. I'm just keeping a few verses. They're just staying a bit longer on it. And we don't have all that time tonight. But my people have committed. This is what happens. What he's saying. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves. Broken cisterns that could hold no water. I was there with them. And she had everything. It was right there. But she was not attracted to what was there. She wanted something else, and so she moved. Israel. She. You, me. I'm going to make my own plan and I'm going to figure this out. And so they try to make a system, a thing that can hold water so that my way can have my own sweetness to it. But now the problem was this plan, after she left, could not hold the water. And she died of thirst. John Piper's got a very good sermon actually on this. His sermon is on the essence or the baseline of evil, is that we desire things more than God. And we pull that through to attraction. This lady had everything. She was attracted to another life. She became thirsty. Attraction is where it all starts. Now it gets brutal. For I long ago broke your yoke and burst your bonds. I set you free. But you said, I will not serve you. I don't want to be here. Yes. On every high hill and under every green tree, you bow down like a prostitute. That's what Scripture is saying. It's very explicit. This is heartbreak stuff. You had a husband and he loved you. And what happened is that Israel, this woman, if you can see the image, ended up and became every man's intimate partner. This is heartbreak. This is what happened in this case. Misplaced attraction is where it started. She ended up outside on the hills. This gets worse. If that shocked you, just hold on. A wild donkey is now likening this woman, Israel, this person to a wild donkey. And in each of these verses, it doesn't matter how brutal, each of it in some way or another, just, you can relate to it, even if it's a small part. Like a donkey in the wilderness, check this out, in her heat, sniffing the wind, who can restrain her lust? Who can stop that donkey? Jelle hond op hitte gehad, in die yard, een vrou hond, jelle straat, dis berserk. Die honde wil eet, hulle is honger, hulle word vasgevang aan die palissades. Dis crazy. And it's funny, but it's very traumatic. Are you with me? What's being said here? None who seek her need to weary themselves. Don't worry. In her month, they will find her. She is so easy, this Israel. This you, this me. When she walked away from God. She's not a girl that you fight for. She lays on the hills with different men. Her heart is given over to idols. This is why I had to make excuses before I started. This is Scripture. This is how God feels when He looks at us. Before we look at emotions, we're just talking here about our relationship with Him. It's brutal stuff. How do we get here? There was a time when He brought you in. And there was everything. And you know it. And you remember back. I can think back of those days when I was before high school. I can just remember my own innocence. Everything was there for me. Set up to win. Some of us grew up in a different home. And it was difficult at home. But I promise you, if you think back, there was people who cared. He set you up. But each of us in time of our life, in different times, we've walked away to carve out for ourselves systems. In our life as a general, but especially with relationship, those are the ones you remember the clearest. If only I did it. If you start thinking that way, that's good. It means God is starting to speak with you. This is Israel. This is me and this is you. She lost the ability to know what's good for her. Check this out. It's another slap in the face. How well you direct your course to seek love. Oh, you planning this thing. I'm going to be great. God's going to use me. And this time, oh, 2 days, there's a man. Boom. Direct your course. Done. Guys, I'm phoning everyone. I'm telling you. I want to trust God this time. I've been messed around with too much. Hold me accountable. I'm going to get it. 1 week, there's a man. Boom. how well you direct your course to seek love. This is not just on relationships. Are you with me? How well our hearts wander from God in different things. So that even wicked women, so that to even wicked women you have taught your ways. So that's now really getting out of hand. How did she get so misplaced? There was a well with sweet water. She did not desire it. That's where we are, guys. I just want to make a statement of a principle, and then we're going to get a little bit closer to relationships. Your spiritual attraction to God will be revealed in your romantic world. All right? This cannot be separated. All right? I don't know you guys, you know yourself. Let me tell you what. You cannot serve God in word if your romantic life testifies in a different way. Are you with me? There is integrity between the spirit and the body. What comes up is what is on the inside. All right? And that's why God can liken Israel to this woman. We understand it. If you have an encounter with God, your romantic world will change. What you get attracted to, what you get yourself into and whatnot. Are you with me? Let's go on. We are going to the Song of Songs. Yes. Have you read that book? It is funny. I'll tell you that. When we were in university, we used to bring one another words. There's one of them that starts, your breasts are like, okay? So I go to one of my friends in the res when everyone says, I've got a word for you. I feel God is, just want to speak into your life. Your breast is like, and then I would say, everyone would laugh and we would have a lot of fun with this book. This is a very deep book and teaches us a lot. We're talking about attraction. Don't lose me here. We're going to land this sermon in a bit. This is a woman and she speaks to this man. This is what this book is about, their love relationship. Look at what she says. She says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. She wants him, right? I don't know how much she likes wine, but she likes his love more. If she's from the Western Cape, that says a lot. Why? What about this man is so amazing that she is so attracted to him? I want your lips here. Come. She says, your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is oil poured out. Therefore, the virgins love you. Why is she attracted to this man? She says, your name is like oils. When I say your name and I go on, I'm going to say what I believe about you. I'm going to dictate your character. If someone comes to me and say, yo, Peter had dit gesê en dit gedoen en dis wat Peter doen, and it's not true, something in me stands up. I know his name. That is not true about him. Are you with me? She says, she's probably, if you look at this verse, been watching, she's been observing this man, and she says, what I find attractive about this man is his name, his character. Talking about a good thing to be attracted to. Talking about a well with sweet water. She's attracted to the character of this man, and now she wants him to physically move in, to move closer. All right? Now, let me tell you what, we've got this all wrong. This is probably the reason why marriages in this country, the world is where it's at. Misplaced attraction. The wrong things have been luring us into marriages and relationships, and we ended up and the system could not hold a basic marriage together. It was too broken. I've heard a story about a man who went to the parents of his girlfriend to ask for a hand in marriage. He's a good man. Goes to the parents. Says, I want to marry your daughter. That's why I'm here. I've got respect for you guys. Can I please marry your daughter? The mom says, you are good for her. You're a good man. You may marry her, but let me say this. She is the most selfish person on this planet. There's one important person in her life, and that's my daughter. Now, if you want to marry my daughter, I give you the yes. We give you the yes, but let me tell you what. You don't divorce her. But I tell you now, you have misplaced attraction. If a mom says that about her own daughter, for the fear that the man would leave her in 1 year, we get attracted to the wrong things. And we get ourselves into difficult, heartbreak places like we've read. She's been watching this man. I just want to say something on that. Carl, when I came here in 2013, Carl was already in this church. He was single for 2 years while I was here, I think. I knew him from university. Let me tell you something about his name. I'm not attracted to Carl in a way a woman or Sumeri can be, but let me tell you what, he's got a good name. Do you agree with me? That's why he's an elder in this church. Your name is what should attract people into your space. Amen. Now, he may look like the perfect, what do they call these guys these days with all the stuff, man bags, just the perfect sunglasses, right car. He may be someone that looks after himself well. Or he may be the most important person in his world. Watch out to what you are attracted to. She may be just looking well after herself. That's why she's polished. And that's good, ladies. You should be a steward of your body. Amen. It might be that she just take good care because that's how she was taught. It might be that she's the most important person in her world. Watch out what you are attracted to. Amen. Are you with me? You have to ask God for guidance. Who sees, who else sees what a great guy this is? I don't mean to offend anyone, all right? God makes everything new. Listen to what this girl is saying. Those who have kept themselves holy, those who know God, they will see what I see. Can we go back, please? Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is oiled. Therefore, the virgins love you. They know. They've been in the Word. They've seen what I see right there. They are being attracted to this very same thing. So I need to move, is what she's thinking here. I need to move fast because the godly women are coming. Sumeri, he chose you. Amen, sister. It's not meant to be condemnation if you've got a past where you were in sexual sin. All it's saying is if you are at a place where you are being healed in Christ, you will see a man with a godly character when he comes along. It's very difficult for people who don't know Jesus to see where a marriage would go. They're very blind. I'm sorry, it is the truth. Those who are in the flesh, their minds are in the flesh. Those in the spirit, minds of the spirit. Okay. It's very difficult to be in the flesh and discern God's will. It just means it's important for you if you are single to get to know Jesus. Amen. Bible is awesome. Amen. Check this out. This is a heartbreak stuff. She's talking. She says, I'm very dark, but lovely. O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. She says she's dark. Why is she dark? She's not a black woman. She's saying, look at this. Do not gaze at me because I'm dark, because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's sons were angry with me, and they made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I had not kept. This young lady had to work laborious hours in the fields of their family to keep the business going. She said the brothers were angry with her. Maybe they did not work. They pushed her into the fields and she had to work. And so the sun has dealt damage to her face and she's shy about it. She knows her worth. So she says, I'm dark, but I am lovely. There's someone in me here. And she says, do not gaze at me. I feel shy when you look here. Listen, I don't know a lot about beauty products. I don't own any. What I do know is that I think as women gets older, they, you know, they like put selfies and quickies. Nah? Liesel, je lacht niet. Dat is mijn buurvrouw, ik weet. Ik daar niet. But when he comes near, she gets shy. Because maybe compared to the other women that had been sitting in the palace the whole day, they had their nails done, they had life so easy. When they come, when he comes to her, she's shy because in comparison, probably what this guy sees, she's not so beautiful. And she's shy about that. And a lot of us can relate with that. That's what she's saying. She said, I did not have time to look at myself as I would love to. Now here's a woman with a story, amen. Here's a woman who has served, who has learned to provide, who had hours in the field working, had to deal with her thoughts coming back the next day and still to have joy. It's a lady with a story. She's been around. She's not gone, had anything done for her. She's been working. And now she says to him, tell me whom my soul loves. Where do you pasture your flock? So this gives us Song of Solomon away. This is probably not Solomon. He had many wives and he was very rich. And he did not tend to flock. Are you with me? This is a song about another man which gives himself wholly to one woman. Even if Solomon is a writer. Where do you pasture your flock? Where do you make them lie down? Why? Why is she saying that? She wants to have coffee with him. She wants to meet him where he works. Is it okay? I'll even say this, ladies, to accidentally bump into him. Oh, I didn't know you coming here. Meanwhile, he's walking the aisles, you're going, you're there by the tomato, just quickly, and then when he comes around the corner, where is he? And you've just been spying him. You've been up and down that Omo aisle the whole time, just waiting for him to come. Forgot your deodorant at home, so now you're like, tss, 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 tss. She wants to bump into him. She wants to meet him. So she asked him, in this case, where would you be? Very interesting. Look at what she says. For why should I be like one who veils herself beside the flocks of your companion? Who's that? Who remembers? Who's that? Those are women that walks for economic reasons amongst the places far away from where these shepherds live and sell themselves in change for intimacy. These guys are far away from them. Often they would take weeks. So they're wandering there making money. They're prostitutes. What she's saying to this man is, listen, when I come, when you see me, you tell me exactly where you are because I am not one of those women. I'm not wandering around. I'm coming directly to where you are. Can you see that? You know what that sounds like? Romans 1 verse 1. I'm the apostle part. What's the apostle Paul? What's the next phrase? Set apart by God for him. And what she's saying is, when you see me coming, know this, I am not on the stand for other men. I want to meet with you where you are. That's what she's asking him. Talking about getting attracted, getting your attraction aimed. He goes on and he gives her the coordinates of where he would be. He said, if you don't know, O most beautiful among women, follow the tracks of the flock and pasture your young goats beside the shepherd's tents. That's where I would be. Ja, ek sal gaan koffie drink. Now, just a tip, guys also, let me just go to the men. If you ask her for coffee, okay, and she needs to go and visit her grandma again after the fourth invitation, she's not giving you the coordinates. You're not having coffee or lattes or anything. If you ask your wife and she does that, then you're in trouble, okay? He's seeing something here. He's recognizing there's a story. And he'd love to maybe give the situation a go. Let's meet up. Gives her the yes. You see, now let me tell you what. He's not attracted to her physical beauty. Because she says it herself. Oh, damage. I don't know how old she is, but sometimes when people really, really had a tough time in the sun, fishermen, people working outside, you can see that. You know what I'm talking about? What he knows is, this is a woman with a story. She was faithful for her family. And he knows that she is set apart and she will not look upon other men. He loves it. He wants to take it to the next step. And now look what he says when he meets her. I love this part. He says, "Your cheeks are lovely with ornaments. Your neck with strings of jewels." Those are the areas she wants to hide away. I wanted just to look deep. I just want him to look deep in my eyes and accept me for that. Now he says, no. Don't look away. It takes it like this maybe. I love your cheeks and your face just the way it is. It comes with a story. Don't turn your face away. This man starts on the inside and he's attracted to this woman, and now it becomes physical on the outside as well. Is physical attraction on the outside important for a married couple? Yes, it is important. But let me tell you what, love is dynamic. Love moves. I tell you, when a woman, doesn't matter how pretty she is, comes into a room and she gives it to you, doesn't matter how pretty she looks on a photo, at that moment, she's not beautiful to you. Are you with me? In the same way, as you discover the character of this woman with a sunburned face, she becomes more beautiful. And he starts to reassure, "You lift your head. You be proud of you. I love you. You are beautiful to me." This man is attracted to the right things. And now things are starting to fall into place. We know how this works. My stories can't compare with this. We're almost done, everyone. Just hold on. Can I have 5 more minutes? Can I get 5? Can I just see where? 5, 10, 15, 20, 30. Can I? There's a lady that used to work in Shofar Stellenbosch in the offices, and she used to serve there, always be there. Whenever there's an encounter, 1 to 4 Bible schools, she is always there to help with everything. She never gets mad, but she also never got into a relationship. She turned 30, 31, 32, 33, and she decided that God has called her to be a mother, and so she adopted a young boy that had no other chance in the world. Okay? And now, as this woman came to church, now I just want you to think how the perception of her changed. Maybe all the time she was just the one there at the back. Now she comes to church. She's not interested in the men. It's not even on her radar. She has to look after this little boy. She has gone on a journey. She has embarked on a journey. And suddenly, as she takes care of this boy without a father, she's a single mom, doesn't earn a big salary, this lady becomes beautiful because what you are seeing is happening in their life, in her life. You see what I'm saying? This girl does not have time to stop and play games with young men who think they are mature. She's got a son. And so immediately the men who are strong in God says, that is a woman. Your cheeks are lovely. No one saw it for the last 10 years at the office. No one saw it. Let me tell you what. You are pretty because I'm seeing who you are. And as I look on you physically, wow, can you see how dynamic love is? I remember when I was in my third year I did not go out with my wife, but she did go to church. I remember, she came to church alone. No one had to bring her there. No one had to drag her there. She didn't come with a cluster of women. She came alone in a very old Honda Ballada. She stopped there and she'd have a Bible and a book and she'd go to church. She's on her way to church. And I was worshiping the Lord, but every now and then I was just, love you, Lord, and just looking where she is, just trying to pinpoint her location, you know what I'm saying? And she was just focused on God, and I was on looking around, and maybe other men, and she's just like, Lord, I love you, and she's just spending time with God, and she'd be engaged in the sermon, afterwards, boom, back up in her car home. I'm like, why can't you just be the other girls, just like hang around a bit? No, she was focused. She hang around, it was missions meeting. Got back home, just pursuing God. Stole my heart. That long curly hair. You see, we need to understand the areas of attraction that God wants to show us. He wants to show you, and I know I'm taking something that's meant to have a spiritual meaning and just applying it this way, but I believe I can. He wants to show you where the life is, the sweet water. You're going to have to look beyond what the magazines show you. You're going to have to look beyond what the TV shows you because it sucks. Google any actor you like and you go and see how his marriage is doing. They don't have a clue. Clueless. So yes, he doesn't look like Brad Pitt. But he's a good man. He loves the Lord. And if you think back, he's been around here serving the house of God, never complains, never has something bad to say about people, never runs his mouth off. He's a good man. You have to start to switch on the attraction that God shows you. Amen. Sometimes the men get accused because they always want the package, right? I'll tell you what, women is the same. It's the same. We have to ask God to give us a new heart and new eyes. Are you with me tonight? What are you attracted to? When He shows you life, those sweet waters, hold on to that. If you are married, okay, you need to stay married. Number one, you made a promise before God and people that you're married. If you are married here today, what can you do? You say, what can I do, Varys? I've missed it. No. Go to Jesus. Start to serve Him and allow Him to beautify your soul. I promise you, if it's you here or you know someone out there, your husband will, at a certain stage, start to look at you with different eyes. Your cheeks are lovely because of what's happening in here. And the same for men. The world teaches us to marry the most good-looking magazine person who at the day of their marriage or at the peak of their beauty. They just had 4 hours of someone making them up. They're probably never going to look on the outside as pretty because you're going to make her pregnant as well, okay? And she's going to have fat cheeks, okay? Which I like, by the way. But you get my point. If you marry for that, you're on a downward spiral. And at some stage, you need to make an exchange with a younger model. But if we are attracted, engage where God shows us, she only gets more beautiful because she's becoming more like Jesus. You only desire more. Look at what my husband is becoming. He's caring for the people. He's caring for me. He prays for us. He loves. He is so, where do you pastor your flock? Where can I find you tomorrow at 3 o'clock? She wants to meet with him because he's beautiful. If you don't know Jesus, this makes no sense. No sense whatsoever. But I want to invite you guys into a higher life where we serve God. Where our marriages testify to this town. Everyone with me? What are you looking for? And what are you attracted to if you are single right now? Think about that. That's very important. If you are married, beautify your heart for the sake of your husband, for the sake of your wife. Be intimate with Christ for the sake of your husband, for the sake of your wife. My last scripture for the night. Sorry, I'm going on a bit longer tonight. For he grew up. This is the prophet Isaiah describing Jesus. Let me tell you something about Jesus. He grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. How many of the women in the modern church would marry Jesus? I'm just saying. That's not his job. It's not his commission. He had no beautiful form on the outside that you should look and desire him. Most beautiful person ever walked the face of this earth was not something to be beheld with eye. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows. He went through difficult times and acquainted with grief. As if from men hide their face, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Let us not look with the eyes of the world. Amen. But let us look like disciples of Jesus who saw his beauty. This has got truths for your spiritual life which cannot be disconnected from your romantic life. If you don't know where to go, focus on your relationship with Jesus because your romantic life will follow suit. Are you with me tonight? Let's stand in this place. I want you to just close your eyes for a moment, and with everything that was said, I just want to ask you to open your heart so that God may whisper into your heart what is applicable for you for tonight. If you feel a little bit ashamed, if you feel convicted, that's good. Because he's drawing you near, he's drawing you closer. If you feel ashamed, and if you feel you've messed up, but you feel that there's no hope, that's not the Holy Spirit talking to you, amen? He gives grace to the humble. And so he's inviting each one of us to come close. And some of us tonight, we're far from him, and some of us have met him. That's irrelevant. Each one of us need to take a step closer to him tonight. And I want to ask you, what is your step for tonight? And I just want to pray with a bunch of people tonight. And I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, so don't fear for that, but I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand if that's you. And I'm going to trust God to complete the work he starts with you tonight, if that is the case for you. But I want to just start with your spirit. And I want to ask you, have you looked upon the face of Jesus and called him Savior, most beautiful? Here is everything I have. Have you entrusted to him everything you have because you've looked upon him and know that you can trust him? And maybe if you have a doubt, then I just want to pray with you. and pray that tonight you take a step in your life. And maybe you've never accepted him because you walked away because of what happened in your past. Then I just want to give an opportunity for you to say, Lord, I'm coming back. I don't know what this journey is going to look like, but I'm coming. And so that is, if that is you and you want to just recommit or start your relationship with Christ, I'm going to count to three and then unashamedly I want you to lift your hand up very high, just like he died in public for you. So if you want to make right with Jesus, I want you to lift your hand in 1, 2, and 3. Hands up very high. Thank you for all those hands, guys. Thank you for all those hands. I want you to keep your hand up. Eyes are closed. Just keep it up for a moment. Experience what's happening in your heart. Maybe this is the most difficult thing you've ever done in your life. Keep it up. Take the moment in. While those hands are up, I just want everyone to pray with me. Lord Jesus, I stand before you tonight and I give my life. I've walked down different roads, but tonight I'm turning back to you. Water that has life, that I may not die, but live, because the water is sweet to my spirit. I'm coming back to you. You are more beautiful than any other thing that can be desired. And so I grab hold of you above all else. I will never turn away again. I give my life and I commit, Lord, to read your word, to pray, and to find a place where I can worship you with other people. You show me. You guys can lower your hand. Thank you for being so brave. You guys don't know who that is, but just let's just give a clap of hands, guys. I just want to pray for another group of people, all right? And I want everyone to just close their eyes again, just because this is such a vulnerable moment. If you want Jesus to restore any part of your heart, any part whatsoever, maybe it's just your relationship with him, maybe you want him to restore what you have lost with lovers that was not from God. And I want to count to three and I want you to put your hand up and I want to pray God's healing over you tonight in this place. 1, 2, 3. Father, you see those hands going up with faith. Scripture says without faith it is impossible to please God. Lord, right now, according to the faith of each hand, you reach down and you start to heal hearts in this place right now in the name of Jesus. There's a few people here, I sent a few girls, and people have told you, jy sal rondloop mens, and you'll never find the husband that loves and respects you. I tell you, that's rubbish. He makes all things new. You are valuable and you belong to him. Do you hear me tonight? Amen? So God, you heal, you go into that place, and you touch that wound, and you heal it in the name of Jesus. You bring hope, Lord, where hope was lost. Lord, there's people here, Lord, that really wants to serve you, but when love comes in a package and it's such a fake thing, Lord, it's not from you. And then they change their way so easily, they turn to another lover. That ends tonight, because the lover has arrived. His name is Jesus. He will direct your way from here on forward. You guys can lower your hand. Amen.